Tired of the weather or stocks for small talk fodder? Today you should try bonds. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The U.S. bond market has swooned like a patch of underwatered violets on a hot summer day. This has pushed yields up this morning on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note. Put another way, interest rates move sharply higher this morning. Let's get perspective from economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives here in New York. Hey, Julia.
Good morning.
Hey, interest rates in America. Look at the benchmark here. The 10-year yield is right about 3.06% as we're speaking. What happened?
Yeah, well, that's the highest interest rate we've seen since 2011. And this morning, it seemed to have pushed higher after the retail sales report, which was solid. And that probably means, you know, solid economy, solid consumer. The Fed probably needs to raise interest rates. So I think that may have been the catalyst.
It's a funny thing, though. It's not a surprise that the Fed's going to have to raise interest rates a couple times this year. And it's not a giant surprise that retail did okay. It's almost a case where market participants are in the mood to drive interest rates higher.
You put your finger on it. I mean, the retail sales report was in line with expectations. Everybody's expecting the Fed to raise rates. Why hasn't the 10-year gone higher before? And, you know, there's just the whims of the market. Sometimes a lot of factors have to accumulate. And right now, investors are in a mood to push rates higher, and that's what we're seeing.
All right. So it should not come as a surprise to informed consumers that the rates they pay are going to be drifting higher as the year goes on.
That's right. Borrowing rates on mortgages, on credit cards, on auto loans, all of that should drift higher as the year unfolds.
All right. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
The U.S. hits China with punitive tariffs. China retaliates. That's at the center of 3 days of hearings in Washington starting today. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative will hear sharply diverging views from American businesses about $50 billion worth of China tariffs. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The tariffs would hit a wide range of Chinese imports, including parts made in China for U.S. manufacturers, like Lucerne International, a Michigan auto parts supplier. Lucerne CEO Mary Buchsiger is scheduled to testify today. Her message?
There's unintended consequences of these tariffs.
Lucerne imports hinges from China that are used in Jeep Wranglers. Buchsiger says she can't find an American manufacturer to make them, and the tariffs would cost her more than $7 million, possibly forcing her business to close.
But it could cripple the entire supply chain, basically sending waves all the way through the entire Midwest.
Buchsiger is asking for an exemption from the tariffs. Simon Lester of the Cato Institute says the only other thing that could stop them are successful negotiations.
But I don't think there's any likelihood that the hearings themselves will lead to the tariffs being abandoned. This is more about the U.S.-China trade negotiation.
If the negotiations fail, President Trump will be free to levy the tariffs in a few weeks. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Now, people in psychological distress often turn to hospital emergency rooms, but many ERs are not equipped. In some cases, patients can wait in the ER for days just waiting for treatment elsewhere, and that puts a strain on other emergency services as well. From WABE in Atlanta, Ellie Yu reports.
It's a Thursday morning, and the emergency room at Grady Memorial Hospital in downtown Atlanta, like many ERs, is busy. In the ER's behavioral health wing, a couple of officers accompany a man who seems a bit agitated.
Police officers just brought this gentleman in.
Michael Clays is executive director of Grady's Behavioral Health Services, the hospital psychiatric department. He says it's not uncommon for law enforcement to bring people here to the ER.
And we want to see that sometimes because we don't want to see somebody who's got mental illness, you know, be taken to jail unnecessarily. So they'll make the decision to bring them here and they'll drop them off and we'll do our normal evaluations, etc.
Clay says the number of people coming to the ER for a behavioral health issue has been growing. Back in 2012, Grady's ER saw about 500 patients a month. Today, it's double that to 1,000. And more mental health patients means longer wait times for treatment beds.
We would not accept that for any other disease.
John Rogers is president-elect of the American College of Emergency Physicians.
And we should not accept this for mental disease.
In a nationwide survey conducted by the group, more than a fifth of ER doctors say they've had patients stay in the ER for 2 to 5 days, just waiting for inpatient psychiatric care. Rogers says the shortage of mental health services and psychiatric treatment beds has contributed to the issue. But he says ERs are also not the best place to serve mental health patients.
There's not much that we do. We restrain them and we sedate them, but we don't really treat them.
Rogers would like to see more funding for mental health resources, like for preventive treatment. But in the meantime, he'd like more ERs to develop treatment protocols with psychiatrists, so at least care can start there as just one way to address the issue. In Atlanta, I'm Ellie Yu for Marketplace.
And Seattle City Council has approved a new tax on bigger businesses to help pay for services for homeless people, opioid addiction, and other social needs. The tax is based on the number of employees a large company has in the region, which means big ones like Amazon and Starbucks will pay big. A Starbucks official says he's not confident the city can use the money effectively and regards this as a hiring penalty. Church and worker groups support this and are calling for more in this very prosperous part of the country. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.